Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Welcome in. Good morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Aaron, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, at Aaron is Blitzed. Jimbo Fisher joining us this morning at 7:15 to talk about, well, last week, which is a difficult talk, and then this week, which is going to be even more difficult, what with two straight losses and Alabama coming to town. Yikes. Dana Holgorsen joining us early this week because the Cougs play on Thursday night. A lot happier times at University of Houston right now. I don't even think we mentioned it yesterday, but they looked really, really good against Tulsa.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it. I was
I watched the whole game. They looked this is what.
Oh, I was at my son's tailgate and his football game, and I got home. I didn't even check the scores. Got home. I said, let me see what happened. And as I'm like walking in the door, like, what the?
Yeah.
Holy
crap.
They
45-3.
Dug into the game a little bit. I mean, just a really, really, obviously the best game of the year for the Cougs.
Well, I think the best game maybe since Dana's gotten here.
That good?
Yeah.
I mean, the score says that.
Yeah, but they look, that is exactly, Aaron, you were there. Aaron is their producer on the road. He does all of their games. I watched the whole thing from a bar in Lafayette. And surprisingly, at a bar, I was at a bar, but
happened. Surprise.
Yeah. So, but it was, I thought it was their most complete game since Dana's been there.
Yeah, 100%. That was, it wasn't even domination. It was just, they came out of that locker room and they were ready to go. And Tulsa, they've been playing some big names. They played Ohio State close for a bit. Gave Oklahoma State a bit of a scare.
Yeah, they lost
came
by
out,
five.
They came out.
They were in the game in the fourth quarter with Ohio State.
No big deal. You know, Houston struggled against Texas Tech. They got punched in the mouth. And after the first couple series and Alton McCaskill just running all over them, they were like, be overmatched.
What did they tell you? What did the one guy tell you?
Somebody stopped, I think it was Ted Pardee, our color commentator, in the hallway and said, well, a bunch of our players were dealing with a stomach bug all week.
That's why.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
Well, maybe. If they didn't have that stomach bug, maybe they wouldn't have lost by 35.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly who the one who told him that was. It might have been a booster who they told that booster, hey, keep sending us checks. It was just a stomach bug. It wasn't an embarrassing
stomach
blowout.
Stomach bug. Yeah, that's a problem. All right. Well, if they didn't have that stomach bug, then maybe they would have won the game, but they didn't. So that's good. I mean, they're looking now. Now they got Tulane this week. They got East Carolina coming up. They don't play Cincinnati. They don't play Central Florida. SMU is going to be the toughest test, I think, that they have this year. SMU is a pretty good football
team.
For
Cincinnati?
For, huh?
Are you talking about for U of H?
U of H.
Yeah, the one that's left. Yeah, I'm really curious about Cincinnati's path. Me and my son were talking about that.
Well, they got to get through.
No offense to U of H. I mean, I want U of H to keep on winning. But a team in their conference, at least their conference for now. Well, no, they'll be in the same conference at some point.
Yeah, they'll be together.
I mean, they got an outside shot at the playoffs. It's still going to be hard for them, I think. But here's the advantage. If Cincinnati's substantially better than everyone in their conference, they're getting in. And here's why. Georgia and Alabama are both going to get in unless one of those teams gets beat twice and it has to be late. You know, they're going to beat each other in an SEC championship game. I don't think they match up on the schedule, do they?
Who?
Alabama and Georgia.
The championship game.
Yeah, just a championship game, but they're not on schedule, which is good for them. And I think good for college football. Those are the two best teams,
right. Period.
It's just not – they need to be in the playoffs together. And my son pointed out, well, if one of those teams loses, then they'll probably drop them to 3 so that they don't play in the playoffs. So, yeah, that's probably a good point, although it's probably where they would deserve to drop, not even to 4. But the teams with the best shot –
they might even stay at 2. The loser stays at 2.
It could.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could. Yeah. 2 or 3 safe.
Depending on how close the game is, obviously.
But if you look at Iowa, I mean, I see them getting beat. If Cincinnati wins out, they're getting in this year. Because too many teams are going to lose, I think, at some point.
Jesse Palmer, when asked how you rank the teams for the playoff right now, he had Cincinnati third. Alabama, Georgia, Cincinnati, and then Iowa.
I've watched Cincinnati three times pretty closely. They don't feel, in most years, like a playoff team. They feel like a good team. They don't feel like a playoff. But this is not a regular season. Clemson is Clemson's dead in the water. Ohio State is not done yet, by the way. You can't rule out Ohio State. You probably can't. I'm not even sure you can rule out Oklahoma, even though they haven't looked good.
So if Cincinnati wins out, I think they're in.
Cincinnati will get in, yeah.
Heather Dinich was on ESPN, though, and she had this to say about Cincinnati.
If Cincinnati runs the table, are they a lock for the playoff?
No, they're not. And I hate to be the Debbie Downer on Cincinnati fans because I know that they are waving that banner and that flag. But here's the reality of the situation. The College Football Playoff Selection Committee puts a huge emphasis on strength of schedule. And I don't know that Cincinnati is going to have it come Selection Day. I've seen Notre Dame play live. I saw them against Wisconsin in Chicago Field. They are not a great team, to be frank, and Cincinnati needs to hope that the Irish don't lose again. And then you see the rest of Cincinnati's schedule. Is a home win against SMU really going to put the committee over the edge in terms of impressing them with strength of schedule? I don't think so. So Cincinnati's problem is not itself. Desmond Ridder is an excellent quarterback. Their problem is what we just talked about. Two SEC teams potentially finishing in the top four. And as you mentioned, the Big Ten has a chance to do that as well. When you look at the Big 12, Oklahoma, maybe Texas. And by the way, Oregon's not out of this thing.
I'll tell you, a one-loss Oregon team, if Texas moves up ahead of an undefeated Cincinnati, and there's a zero chance of that.
Well, here's the thing.
Zero chance. Even with a win this week and a convincing win over Oklahoma.
Here's an argument. What's Cincinnati's best win going to be this year?
Notre Dame.
Yeah. You need Notre Dame to keep
at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I guess that looks – but here's the problem. Notre Dame's win over Wisconsin just looks worse.
Yeah.
And so as the season progresses, wins and losses – like Texas lost to Arkansas looked bad until Arkansas smoked Texas A&M.
Until now, Arkansas's
win over Texas A&M doesn't look as good because they lost Mississippi State. Mm. But if Texas beats Oklahoma, then Arkansas's win looks better.
And Arkansas got shut out by Georgia.
Yeah, who's maybe the best team in college football?
Yeah,
there's a chance they're the best team. I think the big differentiator though is going to be
so all of these teams I can see jumping. Oklahoma, if they go undefeated, they can jump. Iowa or Penn State, they play each other. The loser falls behind Cincinnati. If a Big Ten finishes undefeated, I get it. If a Big 12 team finishes undefeated, I get it. But if these one-loss teams, Cincinnati is gonna hold them off.
Cincinnati needs this year. Usually, it wouldn't matter with Clemson, Ohio State, and all that. But this year, they legitimately have a great chance. The problem is going to be Cincinnati needs teams to play well. They need the teams they beat to play well.
Yeah.
They can't have Notre Dame. Of course, they made Notre Dame crap the bed. But they need Notre Dame to win now. They need Houston.
They need Houston to play really well and then beat them in the championship.
Yeah, and then they need SMU to play well. Like everybody they play, they need to win. They need to be cheering for their conference every chance they get to get in.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, and then I just, do you not see them slipping up somewhere? It's hard because you went to Indiana.
No.
They were beating you in the first half, and you came out like a house of fire in the second half. Then you go to Notre Dame and beat them in Notre Dame. Like, that's pretty legit to go on the road in Big Ten teams and win. That's pretty legit.
Well, one Big Ten team and one Notre Dame. Yeah, no, it's legit.
Notre Dame's a Big Ten team. I'm tired of them saying they're not. They just are.
They're an ACC team.
They're a Big Ten team.
So,
you're in South Bend, Indiana. You're a Big Ten. You play Big Ten style football. You're a Big Ten team.
They are.
Stop.
Their grass is really long.
It's all the same.
Even their turf is long.
You're so Big Ten-y, it's such a joke.
Yeah, you're a joke.
Well, I didn't say they were a joke.
No, I said they were a joke.
Okay.
Okay. They got Temple. They got Central Florida, who's not as good. At Navy, at Tulane. I don't see them slipping up. Tulsa's not any good. At USF. The SMU at the end of the year at home, 11-20, November 20th, is their game. You know, and let's see how good SMU is. We'll find out because SMU, may have a loss to the University of Houston.
October 30th, they come here.
October 30th, they come here. That'll be to see who plays Cincinnati in the championship game. That's what that's going to mean. They've got University of Houston at Houston, October 30th. That's going to be fun. We're going to that one. Yeah, Aaron's going to all of them. But
I'll be just getting off a cruise ship, so I'm really praying for a primetime slot in that game.
Oh, you're taking a cruise in October?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Some couple places in Mexico. My wife and my friends booked, and they said, "Hey, you're going."
Oh, during the football season?
Yeah.
Do they not know what you do for a living?
It's Texans. That's fine.
No, it's Texans. By the way, how about the Astros got Sunday night game?
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're a big Astros fan. Has there been any discussion about you having a cruise in the midst of Astros playoffs?
Yeah, there has, and they have assured me that there's a big screen TV that they usually put, because they go on like these cruises during this time of year, that there's usually a big screen TV right by the pool in the hot tub that they put either football or the biggest playoff game for baseball on.
I mean, your people aren't. My brother's weddings, his daughter's weddings were always during the fall, and I'm like,
that's pathetic.
My kids know better. Why come you can't train your kids?
Is your brother a football fan?
A Bears fan, but it's over by Sunday. So he watches. He's fine, you know. And actually, it was the week before the Bears started. It was Labor Day weekend.
Do you know what my wife did this weekend? She told me, we're going to a concert on Sunday. Sunvolt's in town. I've just gone to the old 97s, and I went to Red Rocks Wilco. I went to old 97s and Ronnie Millsap. Like Ronnie Millsap and old 97s back to back, one with a cast and one with a boot. Yeah, hey, I've done my thing.
Yeah, but Sunvolt's, you don't anymore now.
What's that?
Lance was in here dancing this morning.
Well, not dancing, but I put a little too much pressure on the ankle.
And
I
learned that hurts
a little,
again?
Good I just learned you. A little lesson.
Good for you.
But we're going to Sunvolt Sunday. Don't forget.
I don't know what that means.
I said, hey, Tommy's headed back to New England. What are you doing? And eventually she goes, well, let me see if Chris got tickets. Chris Solis luckily didn't get the tickets
because
he got smart. He's like, no, I was just talking about that. He forgot Tommy was in New England.
Jimbo next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about my bookie. Hey, you want to bet on the game? Well, I don't know. You can. I mean, if you want some action on it, I know where you can get it. You can get it at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. And here's the deal. If you deposit, you could deposit $5,000, you could deposit $80,000. I don't know, but they're going to match $1,000 of it. You can deposit $200,000. They'll match $200,000 of it, up to $1,000. If you've been on it before, you haven't been on it before, whatever the deal is, everybody is eligible for that $1,000 match. And listen, I love it. I've always got action, a little something going here and a little something going there, because it's just too much fun to watch games. You got to have a little something on it. You know what's going to happen in these games. Might as well take advantage of it at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Make sure you put that promo code in. Look for it. It's not easy to find where to put the promo code in, but you got to put it in there. BET975. You're looking for the best place to bet, win, and get paid. Mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're home for the Aggies in Houston. Head coach Jimbo Fisher joining us again this week to talk about last week's game and this week's game, and it's a big one. Coach, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well, Coach. So, man, that was a tough, man, couple of tough, tough weeks, hard-hitting weeks. Mississippi State throwing it around, though, Coach. What happened defensively?
They hit plays. They made catches. We didn't tackle well enough in space. Get guys on the ground. Had a couple crucial penalties on third and long that had an interference call one time, and we get one off the field, especially late in the thing. And that pressure, we did bring pressure. We didn't get home. I think we had three sacks in the game, but we didn't get home enough. And they made plays. They did a good job on it, and we have to play better.
Yeah. You mentioned that a few times, though, about the tackling. Is there anything different, or is what can you do as a coach to help the tackling thing?
Well, you do drills and how you leverage the ball and how you step on the ball and where your help is, and also your schemes of how you do things. I mean, you're trying to put and making sure the guys that are that are in the one-on-one that eventually everybody, somebody's got to play in space and do things, and how you do it, where their help is, and also them understanding where their help is too makes a big difference in how they approach the ball and the leverage in which they approach the ball.
Hmm. Any update on Haynes?
No. I mean, Haynes is going to be done for a long time.
Okay.
Haynes got a broke out. That's going to be a while now. If you, I mean, you don't even know if the guy's going to come back. I mean, he got a broke ankle, dude. We got to let you on here. Well,
yeah. How's Zach grading out?
Okay, I mean, there's some plays he'd like to have back. I thought he played better in the game. Made a real nice touchdown throw. Made a great scramble on. We missed a protection, didn't slide out, didn't add it, and he made a guy miss. Made a nice third down throws. And there's throws he'd like to have back. I mean, and it's, you know, a lot of times that's like that with a quarterback. And there was also some routes we'd like to have back. There's a couple protections we had that he was going to the right guy down there in the red zone one time that we missed and didn't get picked up and had it. And I say tackles, and everybody has their chance. But as a quarterback, you know, you're always touching the ball. So, as I say, sometimes you can erase a lot of mistakes. And, you know, that always goes on you. And, you know, that's part of the position which he has. But, I mean, he's gotten better. So he played much better in the game. Did a lot of things, a lot more confident, a lot more down the field. Consistent, and but there's still some throws, you know, he'd like to have back, and that's part of his maturation of going through the position.
Coach, are you seeing, I know you can kind of manipulate it a little bit with your personnel groupings and your alignment and stuff, but are you starting to see teams sneak those safeties up on you at all? Are they loading a box up from a running standpoint at all?
No, they're not. No, they're not.
I didn't think so. I mean, it didn't look like on TV.
We ran the ball much more effectively in the game. I thought we ran the ball really well. Had a couple big runs in the red zone that we ended up not getting the blocks, which we had that we thought were there, that were really there, that we've got to get in there some critical moments. But a lot of people, a lot of people right now are playing. They're not trying to give up the big plays, but they're also mixing the blitzes and they're doing things well. And that's why I thought we ran the ball very effectively in the game. I mean, one back averaged 6-something, one averaged about 7.
Coach Jimbo Fisher with us from Texas A&M here. Coach, so I'm curious, how much time do you spend right now as a head coach, and you've been a head coach for a while now, how much time do you spend with your quarterback after the game in terms of watching tape, film room? Are you still hands-on with the quarterback across the board?
Oh, yeah. I watch as much as you're allowed. You're only allowed to, listen, you're not allowed to, that your meeting time only can be about an hour a day. It's illegal to go over. You're only going to go 20 hours a week when you count practice time and film time. You're not allowed to go meet with that guy.
Do 20 hours a week practice?
Your meetings, every time you walk through your practice, and you're a 2.5 hour practice, and you have your team part of your meeting and all that, you get about an hour a day. Is the max. Once you got to go over your game film, put your prep, your game, put all your stuff in for the next week. I mean, there's not an unlimited amount of time. There's not a lot. And yes, I run all the quarterback meetings, and I still do that like I always have.
Right.
I've never done that. I've done that for 35 years, but. I mean, there's only a certain amount of time you're allowed to do that with because of what they call the 20-hour rule. That's counting all week, you get 20 hours. You have to count game time, practice time, on the field, all that, plus meeting time.
Do you think, because this is a legitimate question, guys know how to watch film. Do you think your guys, as college players, even, you know, when you had Jameis, all the guys that you've had throughout your career, do they know how to watch film on their own?
Yes, they do. They can come in and give you the exact what they messed up on, and they do that.
Yeah.
There's an app. You can see how much film they watch. It's hours. They watch hours of it. And they can come in and tell you things are doing wrong, things are doing right, all that. But at the end of the day, listen, you can watch film all you want, and you got to understand it, which you do. Not preparation, but then you got to have time in the saddle and then how all the different multiplicity of things that happen on the field, and that just takes experience there sometimes. And, hey, they're watching hours of film. Hours and hours of film.
You mentioned you guys did run the ball better. Is that offensive line playing better?
They played better. I mean, there's some things that, you know, wish we could have got, but you got two young freshmen in there that are doing it, and that's not an excuse. I mean, they played better. We ran the football better at times, and thought we had a good plan there, and we did, and we're able to move the football and do those things. They're getting better and better each game, and you can see that there's little improvements each week and how they call things, do things, getting much more comfortable with that.
Well, it's got to be an interesting balance because you come off this game and, you know, John was mentioning the tackling and some things that you're going to want to work as a head coach, you're going to want to work on fundamentals and certain elements. But at the same time, But how do you balance that against the preparation for a team like Alabama? Because you got to try to do both in a short period of time. And you just talked about 20-hour rule.
And how you practice and what you do and the fundamentals of what you do within what you do of the scheme and how you fundamentally do it and the techniques and what you're doing it with. So, I mean, you know, it's in your individual time within your – then you have individual time in your practice time. But it's based on team. Now, linemen and quarterbacks can buy a little more individual than most guys because of when kicking periods are going on and things like that, you got them in individual periods. So you're breaking hips and all that, but you're not, it's not, but you're not actually going into practice or, and what I'm saying is, a schematic form you're working on. How you, first step, hat placement on offensive lineman. Make sure you cut out steps. Make sure you're overtake. Make sure you're double team. You work on double teams. You work on tight end double teams. I mean, those things are constant. And then what, in the running back, you know, you take quarterbacks and whatever guys aren't involved in special teams and where they're at or what they're doing, you know, you're working on certain routes or certain things that you got to do that way. So it's a fine line. It's a very difficult thing to do. That's because you're so limited in your practice time. And not, but, I mean, everybody is. I mean, everybody gets the same amount of practice time.
What are you seeing? I mean, Alabama is Alabama, right? I mean, there's no question. What are you seeing from Bryce? What are you seeing from Bryce Young on tape?
He's very athletic. Got a good grasp of things. He has a good feel. They have good bounce. They're able to run the football, which last week you watch him, and he had 36. Their tailback had 30. The one tailback lost. They lost the tailback for the year, McClellan. And then they have two young guys. So they rode Robinson really hard, ran the football really well. They have a really good running game in that regard. Three to four receivers that can really run. When they got into what's interesting, they got a great transfer. One of the fastest guys they got, that two kickoff returns, they got transfer from Ohio State, able to get him in. He really has helped them tremendously, and it's helped Bryson, but he's done a really good job. He's managed the game, made throws, and he scrambled and made plays with his legs. I mean, that's the thing about him. He's not a big guy, but he's very athletic, and he's got a really good arm, understands the game, and they got really good on the offensive line, playing pretty good around him.
Yeah, that's what I've been impressed with. Is look, Robinson is going to run like a freight train. I mean, he is a hard running back. And they do have another good offensive line, so they can, you know, and that's the thing is, you know, I've heard that Bill O'Brien's talked about behind the scenes. Why don't we just line up and just pound people? Well, because you got to recruit wide receivers too, so you got to open it up so wide receivers will come to your school. But they got the type of team that can get downhill. But, you know, you're also built for that too. It's just a matter of stepping up and meeting the challenge, I guess.
It is. We will be. Our guys, offensive line, we're going to have a really good offensive line here coming, and I really believe that. We've had some injuries, and like I say, Luke is out for the year, which is a big part of, you know, wish we had him back because he has a lot of experience and allows us to be the more diversified in where we're at, unfortunately. But he had his final surgery yesterday. But, you know, you have to be able to balance that to get all the recruits and do the things you got to do. And they've got they've got a really good team.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned Ohio State. Ohio State guy goes to Alabama, and he's, you know, producing for them. In Alabama, you would figure would be losing on the transfer portal because they got so many good players that guys that are good, really good want to get out of there. But how is A&M? How are you guys doing? How do you feel like the transfer portal is treating you?
Good. I mean, we haven't had a lot of last year. We didn't have to have a lot of those instances. This year, we have a tackle that you know, the Demir is our left tackle is playing is doing things there that. You know, they're playing very well for us, and the transfer, but we haven't been in it a lot, but, you know, those situations occur, we will. I mean, you have to in today's time because of people leaving. Alabama's got a lot of guys leave. Just not a lot of guys that are, like you say, the guys that leave schools aren't the guys who are playing.
Yeah, right.
And more so. And then the other day, they had a critical transfer. They were able to get Toto there, the linebacker they had that was a really good transfer. That kid from Tennessee was arguably one of the best linebackers in the league, and they were able to put him in there with them, too. So, you know, transfer portal will be, and we're going to dabble in all that in the future, where we can go, what we can do, and with recruiting.
Yeah, yep. Well, Coach, good luck this week, man.
Thank you.
It doesn't get any easier, that's for sure. So good luck.
That's the SEC, that's part of it.
That's it.
Thank you, guys.
Every year, we appreciate it. Jimbo Fisher with us here every week. Your home for Aggie football, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. Damaris Barbecue, get on over there and watch your Aggies. Go watch all your college football. Go watch your pro football. They got great deals during pro football games, the home pro football games on Wings. I've watched the games there before. He's got the Sunday ticket. It's awesome. If you're looking for a great place, it's on 18th Street right there off of 610. 610 and 290, basically. If you're looking for a great place to go and watch your games, he's got the bar area. There's other areas as well. And by the way, when you're taking the kids for lunch, the best place to go is a place with TVs. They got them all throughout the restaurant as well. So you're looking for a great place, get on over to Damaris Barbecue. Right now I'm talking about GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. And if you're looking for a great way to sell that car, it's just ridiculous for you to not go to GiveMeTheVin.com. If you have to sell that car, get the most for it. It's a car. Why you have a, well, I want to get it to the dealership. I want to get it to CarMac. What? No, get the most money for it. All you got is John Clay Wolf here? Get the most money for it with John Clay Wolf. And he's right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's up, John Clay Wolf?
Good morning. I'm heading to Los Angeles to sell the cars from L.A. this week. Every other week I've been going. Did you hear my new commercial?
No, I missed it. No, I might have. I might have. What is it?
It said that I would buy the used shoes from a gay man, and I use that as the hook to get everybody's attention.
That's a great
hook. I'd buy used shoes from a gay man, and it makes you think, well, what the hell's he talking about, you know? And then I get into the whole thing that of nice used things versus not nice used things and how I'll pay more for nice cars versus normal used cars.
You're intimating that a gay man's shoes will be nicer than a straight man's shoes, I imagine.
That's what I was insinuating. Do you think it's effective? Do you think it's offensive? Do you think I should go with it?
I think it's you. I think it's you. That's what it is. It's not offensive. It's not. It's you. That's what it, okay. That's what I think it is.
All right. So, well, I would, and I mean it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not hunting used shoes from a gay man, but if I was going to buy some, that's where I'd go looking.
Yeah, that's where you go look. Yeah. I mean, and the style and everything, it's going to be there for you, right? Okay. All right.
How about them boys? All right. Well, how's everything else?
Everything is great. The Cowboys are pretty good football. I got to give you that. I'm going to give you that. Dak looks great. Texans look like crap. But, that's our life right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got to admit it. Y'all look good. It kills me because I can't ever pick you. I always lose on you because I can't pick you because it disgusts me. All right.
What's that scene in Brokeback Mountain? Speaking of used gay shoes.
I don't know, but
Jake, I can't quit you or whatever.
I know. That's all I know is it's GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. The Houston Astros battled the Chicago White Sox in the ALDS, and each game-changing moment can be heard right here on ESPN Houston. Game 1 begins Thursday at 3. Now back to the bench live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Game time's out for your ALDS against the White Sox. 307, 107, and 707 on Sunday night. So they put the Astros heads up against Sunday Night Football. You know that was last week?
They're all a-hole moves. But I'm okay with it.
I'm okay
from
a
personal standpoint.
Yeah.
I've grown accustomed to the day baseball, and I'm fine.
I'm okay with 3 o'clock, too.
What's that?
I'm okay with the 3 o'clock.
I am, too. I think there's a lot of people who work who aren't because they can't get there.
Yeah.
You don't work, but
I'm fine. 1 o'clock's fine for me too.
Yeah, no, they set it up for
then
you.
Then I can be drunk all day.
They set it up for you, yeah. There's no doubt.
So it's good for me.
But
by the time we get to the show in the morning, of course we don't have a show on Saturday morning, which is good because I'll have forgotten everything that happened at the 1 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have to go through it and go through. Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Right.
So the Astros, and we got some good prices on Simple Seats. Simple Seats has some really, really good prices
right
now. Go
there for your tickets, people. It's real.
Yeah, it is real. SimpleSeats.com. Use Lance10, $10
off door. Listen, I found on Vivid Seats, too.
Yeah.
I found tickets that look cheaper.
Good, right?
Yeah, look great. Until they throw all of the fees on you. Holy crap.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I don't know how Simple Seats is doing this from a price standpoint. Because I got low infield. I got the price, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get low infield seats. I'm willing to pay a little bit extra for this price. Because I already know what those prices are going to be as we move forward. It's going to be in the $300 and up range ticket. So I got in now.
Yeah.
And I got in for like $120 a seat.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And I said.
Right on third base. Yeah.
Like unbelievable.
I'm in the same section as you just back.
Yeah. I like those. I like those start times from a standpoint of, I guess personally, but I'd rather see the Astros catch some night baseball. You get a Sunday, but you do have to go up against Sunday football. But for us, we don't care. I mean, it's Astros baseball, so I'm not worried about going up against Sunday football. I'm not worried about national ratings or anything like that. What I'm worried about is, being able to have some juice in the stadium. That's right. It's in Chicago, so I don't want that much juice in the stadium. So that is out. We're going to find out. The next thing that we'll find out is what the playoff roster is going to be. Now, we did find out yesterday that ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 is going to be your home for all of the ESPN broadcasts of the White Sox and the Astros. So we will have it here. Yeah. If you listen to 92.5 or 97.5, whatever signal comes in best for you, you can catch the ESPN national broadcast of the Astros and White Sox throughout the playoffs are going to be right here on our station. So make sure that you tune in if you're interested in that. I didn't get to the specifics yesterday. You didn't address the specifics. I think I mentioned it maybe when you were out. So Dusty pulls out Carlos Correa in the ninth inning. He wants to make a point of letting the fans give their standing ovation for Carlos Correa, right? I was trying to figure out, is that something that was run past Jim Crane?
Probably not. Dusty did it on his own. I mean, what does Dusty care, too?
Well, then Dusty knows Carlos is leaving.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows it. What do you think? Dusty doesn't know this? Of course Dusty knows it. Everybody knows that.
No one's even they're not even going to try.
No. That's not it. It's not that he knows he doesn't have a contract. Dusty's been asked about this all season.
No, I thought it was a cool move by Dusty.
Yeah.
I thought it was a cool move by Dusty. What I mean is, was Jim Crane like, we're not going to offer him, so let's do that. That'd be a great move, Dusty. Good idea.
I don't think so. Maybe, though. Maybe
it might have been.
Give Carlos his.
Hey, I don't want to get out of. There's two things. Pawpaw's in his 70s. 70-year-old people don't care. They're going to do what they want to do. So that's out there. But the other thing is, maybe Pawpaw wants one more year of checks. And he said, you know what? I don't want to piss off the owner. Let me just run it by him real quick.
Yeah.
Or I'll tell Click and talk to the owner. I just wondered if Click and the owner were in on that at all. Because if they were, then that basically tells you. Now, they could also say, look, right now we don't think we can sign Carlos. Maybe it will be different. I can tell you, remember the excitement you got when you saw, and it's relative, but the excitement you got when you saw that Michael Brantley was coming back? Because we didn't expect Brantley back. Like, holy crap, Brantley's coming back? This is awesome. Can you imagine if the Astros got a deal done with Carlos? How excited you'd be?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No. That was great.
Especially if he plays well in the postseason.
Carl, it ain't happening, dude. It ain't happening.
This is all just smoke and mirrors and they announce? They finish out the playoffs and they announce at the end, hey, we're going to try to run it back again. By the way, we already agreed to a deal with Carlos.
Yeah, just, maybe. Who knows?
We're waiting on the ink to dry.
Maybe.
Do you think Carlos and his agent, Crane, and Click could keep that a secret?
No. Although they might want a big splash, big surprise. Maybe. I was at Matt Musil's tournament yesterday talking to Bags, and he said, watch out for Texas because they'll do something stupid like that. They'll give him 10 years, $300 million.
Well, I mean,
that's what they did with A-Rod.
A-Rod, yeah.
Yep. He said, you know, and he said that's something. And you know what? That's a possibility. That's a possibility. Somebody's going to do something stupid.
Hey, tell people who we've got coming. So we've got a very interesting show. Darius Butler never got back with me yesterday, so we'll see how that plays out. But we've got Dusty Dvorak tomorrow talking Texas, Oklahoma. Obviously, I have to say Texas first because the wife said that's
Shane Reynolds is going to come on tomorrow.
The Shaner
is going to come on tomorrow. Bags is going to come on Friday. I got Brian Bosworth on Thursday, too.
Mm-hmm.
Set to come on to talk about this OU Texas game
is a big
you know, usually it's the last few years it's been and Texas has lived up to it because even when they were underdogs they played them really well.
It's a pretty even game.
It's
too.
A pretty even game.
I mean, it's
right.
It's three, Oklahoma's three, but this is a pretty even game.
Yeah. Yeah, this is going to be fun, I think, and so we'll get that side of it, and we'll try to get somebody from Texas. You know, it'd be nice to get Vince or something. Somebody, because the Boz is a is an Oklahoma legend. We'll got him.
get Vince. Here's how that will work: you'll line up Vince, and then he won't show up.
Yeah, that's
like every radio show he had when the 790 had him
and paid him,
and it's like Vince one time said, "Oh, I can't fly down there. The it's rain." And the program director said, "We have radars, like we all have weather apps. We can just put Austin's weather, and we see it's not. There's no rain. What do you mean you can't come down because of rain?" And they found out real quick. Oh, he's not very reliable. Mm-hmm. So the Vince Young show lasted about as long as Vince Young working for University of Texas, like 2 weeks. And then they realized, hey, this isn't a no-show job like the mafia. This is a real job that you're getting paid to actually do stuff.
So you need to like do it sometimes.
By the way, I was not a fan of the Sopranos movie. Many Saints of Newark. It was okay. I mean, it was just all right. Okay. Here's my problem. Because of streaming shows now, because I watch entire series, here's my problem with it. I watch entire series. A series gives you more chance to develop characters, develop, you know, like I finished Better Call Saul. Right?
Yeah.
They had time to develop all the Saul character is really fleshed out. Sopranos, okay, you did that with Sopranos. So I guess the idea is we don't have to flesh out characters that you already know about. But this is just a prequel. I get it. But this is a problem I have with 2-hour movies now compared to, you know, even a series that's 3, 4, 5, 6 episodes, even 6-episode series is you can get. It's a lot easier to develop the storylines and the narratives and the plots. It was just sloppy. I thought it was sloppy writing. I didn't love it, man. I was really disappointed.
That's a shame. I'm on the Comey rule right now.
Oh yeah, I've heard. I haven't seen. I'm so.
Yeah.
I'm on Squid Game right now. I'm gonna finish that Korean one. That's gonna be the most watched Netflix series in history.
What?
Yeah, it's called Squid Game. It's Korean.
Oh, so, there's no itchy onions?
Well, I mean, if you're working off of Warrior, the phrase itchy onion, I'd say there's some, I'd say it's itchy on that show.
It is?
Yeah.
It's itchy onion?
It's a little itchy, but there's some violence in that one.
There is?
Play it well. When you play a game like Red Light, Green Light, and you get gunned down by machine guns. If you move,
that is some violence, I think.
And it's all a bunch of people.
Qualifies for violence.
It's violent. Yeah. And there's all a bunch of people who owe a bunch of money to other people, so they pay them money. Like, hey, if you win, you're gonna get a bunch of money. If you win this game, and you see the people get machine gunned down,
then
you get eliminated.
Well, then there's a risk reward then, isn't there?
So I'm watching some of that, but everything is just I'm just killing time until Succession starts October 17th. But then that's once every Sunday.
That's terrible. They're going to make me wait. Like Ted Lasso.
They're going to make me wait. Yeah.
We wait for that. All right. What about, we talked about it in a minute. When we come back, though, the White Sox perspective, a White Sox fan site, it's their SB Nation. It's their fan site of the series and the preview. He calls the White Sox, the good guys versus the Astros. So we'll get their perspective of how this series breaks down next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So Simple Seats is I ordered two seats myself. Use promo code Lance10. Actually, I'll just tell the truth. I forgot to put Lance10 in, so I left $10 on the table. Not real proud of that. I'm getting tickets. I was going to sit in the outfield, and then I saw just lower infield seats at just great prices. And so I decided, you know what? YOLO. You only live once, John. So I decided to get the two there. So I'm either going to go with my wife. Either she's going to make it, or I'll get my buddy Solis to come. But it's just two tickets. You're in the building, and you're going to be part of this playoff series. I'm looking right now. You can get in the door for $50 in a playoff series. Well, actually, the price is now $55. No, $50. Upper level. You get $55 out in the lower level outfield, $69 lower level corner, and then $120 lower level infield. These are amazing prices, and here's the great thing. There is no transfer fee. There's no convenience fee. There are no additional fees. The price you see on the ticket, you have that, and you have tax, and that's it. That's all you pay. Simple Seats makes it great. You can shop by zone, gives you lower prices, or you can shop by the best seat available. But SimpleSeats.com is going to be your spot for local sporting events that are going to have the very best seats. So whether it's, oh, by the way, Aggies, if you want to get to that Alabama game, you can do that on Simple Seats as well. Make sure you go to SimpleSeats.com. That's SimpleSeats.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Time for me to talk about Patrick Chastain and Joe Chastain and the great Chastain Ford. I'm telling you, if you're looking for that vehicle, I cannot recommend more highly these people. It is people that you're buying the car from. It's the listen, Ford is proven. The F-150, I mean, it can't get any better. I've got the Expedition if you're looking for the Explorer. Whatever it is that you're looking for, the vans that they put together for the work vans, everything that they do is perfect. They will customize that van for you exactly how you need it for your job. And listen, they have had to tell people that wanted certain things in their vehicles. They're like, no. This is, we've been doing this forever. We're the number one commercial dealer here. This is really what you need. And they help people out in this way too. So they can give you advice on exactly what you need, whatever that job is that you have to have. But if you're looking for that vehicle for you, for your home use, it just doesn't get any better. Customize it exactly how you want it. You can do it all online. You don't have to go into the dealership. They'll deliver it to you because they don't have to do all the add-ons that the other dealerships have to. They have to have you in the dealership, but the other dealerships, they don't at Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com, it's online. Or you can go to the dealership at 610 on Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There are a few results in professional sports that are more difficult to predict than a five-game Major League Series, but let's unpack what we know about the good guys and the Astros. This is a website, their fan site, their SB Nation site. Hitting. The White Sox are tied for third with Tampa, a 256 average. Their OPS is 758, and they feel really good about their offense. Yasmani Grandal has been great this year, along with Luis Robert, who but they both mixed a big chunk of the season. On the other side, it says the Astros somehow topped the White Sox. Their slash line sits at 267, 339, 444. Their 783 OPS is the best in baseball. Nearly all Houston starters are above average, except Martin Maldonado. So this is going to be slight edge goes to the Astros there. Fielding, the White Sox are a mixed bag. Grandal is a great defensive catcher. Robert is also a guy who can play the field. The Astros, though their defense is not spectacular, weaknesses are hard to come by. As for Houston catching situation, even Maldonado is useful due to his abilities behind the plate. Both rookie outfielder Chaz McCormick and shortstop Carlos Correa in baseball's top 20 in terms of outs above average. After this weekend, it's got to be Myers, right?
I mean, it probably, but is it that short? We are the most flighty show and city and fan base and team. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's just, it speaks to the fact that, you know, Jake wasn't even on the playoff roster last week when we did the show. Do you remember that?
Well, he was sitting.
It looks like he was off. Yeah. I mean, sorry, Marwin's on. You're off.
Well, I mean, he was sitting. His October. Chaz
McCormick's
was
on.
The
I'm
worst
sorry.
Ever.
I know. Sorry.
And now
Chaz,
his October is great.
Chaz McCormick, center fielder. Sorry, you're out. It's him and Siri. You're out, Jake. I'm sorry. You had a nice run. What's that? Oh, he's a starter now? Jake's starter now.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of speaks to the fact that no one has, it has been, yeah, you can't lock in on anyone right now.
The edge goes to the Astros in fielding as well. This staff has been great. It's probably not going to be, it's probably not Keuchel because he has been so disappointing. But their top three pitchers, Rodon, their GM, Han, said that Rodon is going to pitch throughout the playoffs. He has had arm fatigue, arm problems, his left arm, which is his throwing arm, but he certainly bounced back pretty well this past week. So he looks like he is ready to go. He will pitch only once in the series, but you've got Lance Lynn, you got Lucas Giolito, you've got Carlos Rodon, and Dylan Cease, who's been really good. Keuchel might not even make the roster. He's been bad. The Astros staff has accumulated a 16.8 F WAR, ninth in the majors. The team ERA are similar to the White Sox, 3.73 and 3.76, but the difference comes from the White Sox pitching has been better, but overall the run prevention has been similar due to Houston's edge in fielding. So that's helped. The White Sox have they have a much better bullpen. I mean, it is not even close. Kimbrel hasn't been good, but I mean, they are really, really good in the back end. As for the White Sox, can expect to see a lot of Ryan Pressly in this series. He has been really, really good. Sox hitters were 0-for-6 with 4 strikeouts against him this year.
Oh,
that's good. That's really good.
I like seeing that.
Houston's fielding advantage reduces the gap, but the pitching edge goes to the White Sox. As far as manager, they've got the White Sox. They've got Tony La Russa outdoing Dusty. So they think that is an edge. Although the White Sox are not specifically overall guaranteed rate fields and dimensions, the Sox disadvantage is in not having home field advantage is a non-negligible one. The Astros are 51-30 at home, 44-37 on the road. The White Sox are 53-28 at home, 40-41 on the road. They're not that good. Not that good. They still played fairly well on the road, but they failed to squeeze out a few close games. So it's just going to be a close series. It's going to be a good series.
It is. I mean,
these are two teams that are built pretty similar.
I mean, you need Lance McCullers to be at his best.
Yeah.
You need him to be at his best because he's 1-5, you know, game one, game five.
Yeah.
And hopefully you win the series. Hopefully it doesn't go to a game five. You win it early. You're going to be in Chicago.
There was talk about Garcia in game two. There's talk about this because he's so much better at home than on the road.
Mm-hmm. I'd consider it.
Yeah. But you're only going to see Fromber. You only get Fromber once now.
Well, good Fromber.
I mean, if you
might need to have what you want on the road.
Backing up McCullers in game five, you might with short rest.
That's the thing is, you know, it'd be great is if you just had it on standby where if McCullers lost game one, it's Fromber. If McCullers loses or wins game one,
they got to know who's pitching.
No, there's no question. But I don't know. You know, that's not a bad thought is to go Fromber on the road. Fromber, to me, I have a little more confidence in Fromber than Luis Garcia. So on the road, you just think about the fact that, on the road, I would rather have that Fromber on the road than Luis Garcia right now.
You know, it's funny. McCullers has been great on the road, too.
I know, but you
can't. But you got to throw.
You need him lined up for 1-5.
Yeah, you got it. He's got to be lined up. So, at home, Garcia's got a 2.39, a 2.10 on base average against him. On away, he's a 4.24 ERA. So, you know, he's 6-5 at home, 5-3 on the road, but he's got a much higher ERA on the road, and he just pitches better. That's all. 90 strikeouts and 19 walks at home. That's pretty good 4.5 to 1, basically. And then 77-31, which is just over 2. It's about 2.5 to 1. So not even 2.5 to 1. So he's much better at home than on the road. I wouldn't mind Garcia in game 2.
No, he's going to pitch. I don't care where it is. I mean, if you want to make sure that you have one of your best pitchers on the road, that, you know, that's a thought. I don't know why. It's something some teams could really think about, is saying, look, we know there's a decent chance that we could get split at home. So we want to have one of our better pitchers at home. Of course, then again, if you don't have your best pitchers pitching, there's I guess you increase the chance of splitting at home. So I can see either way. To me, because as we talked about, the Astros have a bunch of number 2 pitchers and number 3 pitchers.
Yeah.
You don't have the big number 1 horse. It's easier to envision your lineup or your rotation being kind of finagled to get the type of matchup you want. In years past, you wanted them to line up a certain way for sure.
Yeah.
This year it's almost like, it's fluid.
Yeah.
Whatever. Garcia the 4th starting game 4, Garcia 3, Garcia 2. Whatever.
Whatever. Fromber's actually a little better on the road than he is at home. 2.88 ERA versus a 3.45 ERA. His strikeouts to walks is better on the road than it is at home. He's 2-1 actually at home, strikeouts to walk, and he's over 2-1 on the road. And on base average, a little bit better at home than it is on the road. But if Garcia's got it, is better at home, then okay, he's been great all year. He's been fantastic. He's got the second best ERA on the team. I mean, he's been really, really good. So I wouldn't mind Garcia in game 2. We'll see what Dusty does. We'll see what the club does. It's going to be fun. I can tell you that right now. It's going to be some kind of fun. And congratulations to Lance McCullers finishing second in the league in ERA. Second in the league.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. He gets that money. The thought was, is this too much money? He just goes out and balls out.
Yeah.
And relatively healthy. He missed a few starts, but that arm held up.
Yeah. And Fromber ended up just a little bit better than him with a 3.14. And Luis Garcia, 3.30. Hey, you know what? None of them are spectacular top of the or Scherzer or any of these guys, any of these just giant monsters that are out there. But it's pretty damn good. Every day you're going to throw somebody pretty good out there.
Yeah.
All right, 7:58 ESPN.
That's Astros baseball, John.
I know it is.
Every day somebody good
is that built to win in the postseason? We'll see. That's built to win 100, yeah, over the long haul. But is it built to win in the postseason?
Who did we have on yesterday talking about that? Yeah, Charlie said that. Who was our guest yesterday at the end of the show?
No one knows.
Oh, Charlie Pulillo. Charlie, I thought, made a great point.
Yeah.
There is built for 162, and then there's built for the postseason, and they're a little bit different.
Yep. All right, 7:59, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. Ooh, we're going to talk about the Longhorn game. Oh, we're going to do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, I want to talk about Doc Linville and my hair, my luscious, beautiful hair. Okay, these guys are jealous all the time. Lance is over there. He's always recklessly eyeballing my hair. I know he is. See, that's the thing about it is, and you're going to get a lot of looks because you're going to be like, well, I do. Flavio, yeah, okay. If people want to compare me to that, okay, that's fine. I don't do it. People do. But if you're somebody that wants to have long, luscious, beautiful, flowing hair, well, that's what Doc Linville is here for. It's what he does. He gives you back your hair in neo-grafting. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get hair, painlessly, easy. I was in the chair for about 4 hours. Fred was longer. I don't know how long Joel was in the chair. I think, who else did it? Jake Asman? Did Jake do it? Jake did it as well. Yeah. And these guys called me before, and they asked me, how was it, and should I do it? And I was like, absolutely. Do it, man. Why not have the hair that you want, that you used to have when you were younger? You can. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5.